Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Third hour, Darren, Donnick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Darren McFarland, that's me, here on the south side of town, down here in Rutherford County in Smyrna. Willie Donnick holding fort over in East Nashville. Chase McCabe out on the west side of town in Bellevue. Marquise Munson, our producer, back at our Wholesale Inc. Game Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Maybe the lone wolf, probably him and one other in our actual building at the radio station. We love talking with Dan Shonka, and when we're talking to him, with him, you know what time it is. It is NFL draft time, and it's just around the corner. He's with Our Lad Scouting Service. Dan, good afternoon. How you doing?
We're doing real good, Darren. And guys, you sounds like you've got everybody all spread out there. So you know, it's a good thing.
It is show what, 16? Is that right?
Yep.
Show 16, yep. Under this current format, which we've never done before, obviously. And you know what we're trying to
do? Things. Yeah, there's a lot of new things going on during this, COVID-19.
Well, including the draft, right? I mean, we've never seen this. This is probably going to remind them of people like you that have been around in the business a long time. This is kind of going back to old school days, right? I mean, this is the way the NFL draft, it wasn't the big production that it is today.
Right. Absolutely. In fact, we had crank phones back when we first started up, 40 years ago. We had tin cans with a string on it. Now they're going to be going back to that, I guess. But, no, I think actually having, one thing that's going to be different for the high-tech people is there's actually a thing called telephones, and they have hard lines. And I'll bet you that Ma Bell or AT&T, they're at 32 different general managers' homes right now, putting in 32 phone lines, and including some to New York, to the commissioner's office. So a lot of work. Buy stock in the phone company next weekend.
I remember once Archie Manning came on the show years ago and told a story of he was in school. He's attending classes at Ole Miss, and I think – back then, obviously, you're calling a home phone, right, a landline at home, and, his home phone, and whoever answered, I don't remember the story, he was told that, hey, by the way, you were just drafted, in the NFL.
Yeah, that, right.
That's, you're right? I mean, that's how they found out back then in the 70s.
Yeah, right. No, that's exactly right. Yeah, and, that guys are out on the golf course, or they're working in the grocery store, or, or throwing feed at the farm, and somebody, you just got drafted. Okay. They're back to work.
That's right.
So, that's exactly right.
Well, Dan, you've been in those rooms. It's an inexact science, and it's already tough trying to figure out who's going to translate to the highest level. But now you can add this and, these not normal times of, pro days and these private visits and all the other things that go into leading up to the draft here in a couple of weeks. So how much more difficult is it going to be for teams? For example, John Robinson and the Titans here to try to make this work, not having the normal data that you're accustomed to over the years.
Well, I tell you what, Darren, I don't think that it's going to be as bad as people think, because sometimes, when you have all that other stuff, you get paralysis by analysis, and you get sometimes too many people in the room and somebody come up with something the day before the draft or something like that that has nothing to do. In fact, I'll tell you one quick story is when I was in Philadelphia, we're all set to take Donovan McNabb, and a couple of coaches came up, from their offices into the draft room and said, we've been talking this morning about Akili Smith, and I just kind of looked over at him. I said, well, I hope you're just talking because we're taking Donovan McNabb, but, that's the kind of stuff that, crazy stuff can go on at the last minute, you know. Or another time in Philly, we needed the pass rusher, and William Fuller was signed a I don't know if it was called unrestricted back then, but anyway, he signed with the Chargers, so we needed a defensive end, and there was a big run on defensive ends before our pick. I think we were picking like 26 or 27, and there was nobody really, you know, there, and we actually took a second or third round defensive end who ended up should have been an offensive tackle, you know what I mean? But you know, but the coaches really wanted that defensive end. Well, now you're not going to have a lot of that stuff. I mean, hey, the general manager's sitting there. He's already sorted all this stuff out in his mind. You've got your board. They'll have their board set up, and you're going to get your top 150 players off that board. And once players, you know, start disappearing by these other teams taking them, you know, the general manager, he may have one other person in his hall. My understanding is that it's going to be real limited with just, you know, the scouting people are at their place, and general manager, maybe one or two other people are going to be at their place, I guess. But, you know, they'll have everything organized, and they'll just start, you know, peeling them off as they go. And then you got your next guy on your board, then you'll take them.
Dan, we're doing kind of, you know, like the NCAA tournament. We're doing our own bracket, a Nashville sports bracket, the best Nashville athletes in the last 30 years. And after today, we're going to have this thing whittled down to our Elite Eight. I'm just going to very open-ended. You take it however you want, but who would be the best athlete that you ever saw that just wowed you? And like I said, that's your own criteria. How would you answer that?
Well, I'm trying to think that it could be, well, Muhammad Ali, I think, would be one of the greatest athletes, non-football-wise. I mean, he was a tremendous athlete as a boxer, and, you know, I think that you'd have to, you know, Jimmy Brown, you'd have to have Jimmy in there because of his power. And, I mean, he was a man among men, you know, the way he played the game. I think that, you know, guys like Deion Sanders, I mean, Deion was in my group at the combine. I mean, he was such a great athlete. You know, and you know, now you see his talking and chirping and all that stuff, but you know, Deion was really a pretty focused guy. And when I was with the Redskins, he was in our secondary, and he was toward the end of his career. But, you know, he was always really working at it. He's really focused on his job at hand. And, you know, he was really worked at being a good cornerback. And so, you know, but I would say that, you know, those guys are among the, you know, some of the best I've ever seen. Because I've seen, well, since 1986, every NFL player, you know, one way or another. So, you know, but of the time really before me, two of those guys with Brown, you know, and Muhammad Ali.
We're talking to Dan Shonka from Arlad Scouting here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. The Titans pick 29th, and we've talked to you before of, okay, what direction do you think they're going to go with that pick? And it's a conversation that keeps changing, in my opinion, and a lot of that is based on what they do in free agency or, you know, if a guy leaves. To me, my focus has shifted to the defensive side of the ball. I think pass rush is something they still need, but I also am worried about the secondary. So if you're looking at corner, if you're the Tennessee Titans, are there a few names that you think will be there at 29?
I do. You know, I think that, in fact, in our mock draft we ran the other day, we put Trayvon Diggs there, you know, big corner from Alabama, at 29 in that spot. But I think A.J. Terrell from Clemson could possibly be there. We got him going a little earlier to Minnesota, but you know, in different mock drafts, he and Diggs have always been kind of in that area. So yeah, I'd be with you. I couldn't argue about taking defensive back there at 29.
If you're John Robinson, though, do you possibly consider maybe moving back, adding a pick, move out of the first round, just because with this team you understand that, okay, you need pass rush, you need corner like we just talked about. They need a backup running back to Derrick Henry, maybe even another wide receiver, an offensive lineman. I mean, there are several needs that this team has, and not necessarily day one starters, but players that you hope to develop. So if you're John Robinson, do you consider possibly moving back and adding picks?
Yeah, I think, and I think there's going to be a possibility to do that because somebody's going to say, well, hey, look at that quarterback that's falling down here, and let's trade back into the first. And, Tennessee might be one of those spots that, because if your guy is there, like say, for instance, you want to grab a receiver you may not want to, but if the best receiver, say T. Higgins is sitting there, you know what I mean? And you can still back out of there and get him. You want to take a running back, like you said, somebody to back up by Henry if things don't work out there, rotate with Henry, whatever. You got the three running backs will very possibly be their top guys with, Swift and Dobbins and Taylor. Those guys could be there. So I think there's going to be a possibility for Tennessee to trade out. But I don't know if they'll be able to pick up another two or somebody to move in that spot or something next year. But I think there's going to be a possibility, like you say, to pick up more players.
Based upon what you know about the receivers in this draft and what you've seen from Corey Davis in his career, as you know, it hasn't really worked out the way that everybody had thought with him being the fifth overall pick. Is there a receiver in this draft that you think would be a better replacement for Corey Davis for the Titans long term?
Well, I tell you, this year there's a tremendous amount. There's size guys. If you want to say, for instance, wait a year, because I don't know if he'll be ready to go, but Brandon Ayuk from Arizona State, he had the core surgery injury on Tuesday, so he's going to be on PUP probably at best, but that's an explosive guy now there's probably eight receivers that could go in the first round or got first round grades, and he's a guy with long arms, big hands, can really run and make that return guy, good run after catch, got some explosion to him. So, he'd be a guy that could salt away and maybe be ready to go at the end of the year. But there's going to be, yes, a variety of guys with Hightower from Boise State, say in the third round or the fourth round, Peoples-Jones from Michigan, a guy that is a good size underused guy at Michigan because they had so many receivers they rotated around, or Van Jefferson from Florida. So he's not a big speed guy, but he's a great route runner and he's going to be available in third. So yeah, I think there's going to be some replacements there for Davis. And if nothing else, it gives him competition and hey, see where, if he's going to get better or if he's just going to, hit the road.
Talking to Dan Shonka from Our Lad Scouting Service as we continue to sharpen our brains and get ready for the NFL draft. Dan, I want to pick your brain going back to Jadeveon Clowney because he's still out there and there's still a lot of speculation that the Titans might have an interest there. Take us back to when you scouted him. And, of course, he was off the charts. We all remember how dynamic he was in college. And what do you remember about him and what might be relevant as teams continue to evaluate how much they're willing to commit to him at this stage of his career?
That's a very valid point because he never really became that big-time sack guy that we thought he would. Now, he's very good against the run, but, he's never had a 10-sack year. And he's had that's the thing that's scary because you think that here's this big, long guy that's got great speed and things. He should be a 10-sack guy every year with his ability, but there's always something there is missing, whether he's injured, he's only playing part of a year. He can't get off a block for whatever reason. He's not focused, at the right price, he'd certainly be worth it. But, his starting price is over $20 million. That's why, he's still – at home. And I think he dropped it to $17 million now. So, but still, theoretically, if he played every game and got you over 10 sacks, that's a whole different story. But right now he's a top player in the NFL, but he's not one of the superstars.
We all know with the Titans picking towards the bottom of the first round that a lot can fall differently, and the quarterbacks always seem to dictate who needs a quarterback, and that could determine who's available options they might have as the as it comes down towards their pick. How would you evaluate right now, Dan, the quarterback position? How many quarterbacks go in the first round, and where do you have them ranked?
Well, the sticky wicket is there's going to be more to go than we like, and one of the ones going to go is an injured guy. So, I mean, really, Tua Tagovailoa should go probably, later. He may go earlier, but, he's an injury history guy, and I know a few teams are thinking out there that, hey, if he does come around and can play, he's going to be a good – it's really a crapshoot. Now, if you're willing to give up, your job to take him because he does have – he's had wrists, he's had knees, he's had ankles, of course, the hip. He's a chronically injured guy. Now, where do you take a guy like that? Now, most teams at another position, you would take him until maybe the third or fourth round, but a quarterback like him with his accuracy and everything – some people are going to go a little earlier, but Burrow is going to be obviously the top guy. Everybody in the world knows, and he's going to Cincinnati. And then Herbert is really, I think, a little better than people think. And our only our only real sticky wicket with him is that synapse from his brain to his hand, where boom, you see it, it's got to get out, right now. And I think that's missing. But he's big, he's strong, he's athletic, he's smart, book smart, he can throw whatever pass you want. So he's going to go, probably in the top six somewhere. And I'm not so sure Miami isn't targeting him, not Tua. And then Tua's going to, I think we'll all know when Tua starts sliding a little bit, maybe we're not the only ones out there, a few organizations out there that think that, hey, we'll go after him on his second contract if he can hold up physically, but he's got too much of an inch. So I'm going to say right now that, there's going to be probably three. Some team's going to take Love and maybe late one, which would be overdrafting him tremendously because he's basically a second or third round developmental guy is what he is. Now a guy that we like, nobody's talking about him, and I know Darren has heard me say this a couple years ago, but we like Dak Prescott. Nobody else did. Some of these, quote, organizations out there had him in as a free agent. Okay, well, the guy we like this year is Jalen Hurts. We think Hurts could be a really good developmental guy. Say in the second round you take him and salt him away a little bit. But, here's a guy's athletic. He's got a strong arm. He's got some touch. When he pulls that ball down, he can run with it like a running back. He's kind of built like Dak Prescott. But some team may, I doubt if they'll take him in one, but I would think he'd certainly go in two because he'd be a better developmental guy than about anybody in this draft.
Wow. Dan, last one for me. Knowing what you know about the depth of this draft, is this a good year if you're drafting low in the first round to maybe trade out of the first round, get some extra picks for it? If you're John Robinson, how would you try to tackle that one?
Well, if you can, unless you've got a targeted guy, for instance, but I think that you could back out of there and you're going to get a good player. Do you got to want a replacement for Conklin, who's gone? There might be one there in Ezra Cleveland from Boise State, and still get, extra picks. You'll still, at 29, back out of there, get a tackle if you want to. You get that, like you're talking about, maybe a defensive back. I think that, hey, if you had to go for a running back, you might have your choice of running backs. So you can back out of there and still get a starting player that can help you and then pick up some extra picks. And it's just a matter of, who's going to go crazy, that how much they want to give. Somebody out there might say, oh, we want Love in the worst way. And at 29, we'll give you, a two, a three, and a two next year or something. Some of the crazy stuff that goes on is unreal. But, yeah, if he could do it, make the deal, something like that, I think you certainly got to consider it.
All right, last thing, Dan. You just brought up the running back position. Do you believe a running back should go in the first round?
This year, probably not. But unless the guy's a full-service weapon like Barkley, you know, I mean, Saquon Barkley is a rarity. You know, he's a generational guy. I don't think any of these three running top at the top, like, you know, Taylor, Swift, and Dobbins, they're really good ones, and I think they're really going to be good NFL backs that will rotate and what have you and have good careers. So right now I would say if none of them went in the first round, it wouldn't shock me.
Interesting stuff. Dan, always a pleasure. Continue to be safe, and we will talk to you very soon. Thanks for doing this as always.
Thank you, and you guys all do the same all over Nashville there. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dan. Dan Shanka from Our Lads Scouting Service, a guy who's been at it for four decades, and we always appreciate his visits on the show. We'll come back. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase on the other side, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Good stuff from Dan Shanka, Our Lads Scouting Service. Interesting comments on Jalen Hurts, a guy we've had a lot of discussions about, and he seemed to be a big fan of Jalen Hurts. Said, you know what, might not be a bad pick in the second round. He said that going back years ago, they were impressed with Dak Prescott, and he felt like nobody else was, or a lot of people were saying, ah, he'll be an undrafted guy. What did the Cowboys take him in, the fourth round?
Yep.
So clearly the Cowboys saw something in him, and boy,
they're about to pay him a lot of money.
I was going to say, and that's worked out quite well. I don't know. I still am going to stick with what I've said about Jalen Hurts, but I don't know. There's a lot of people who really like him.
But have you noticed, because we had Dan on, it was months ago, and it wasn't that he didn't like Jalen Hurts, but he seems a lot higher on him now than he was, and I feel like that's kind of a theme. I feel like a lot of people were skeptical on Jalen Hurts, and now they saw what he, you know, they saw the combine, and they've studied him more, and so they feel a little more confident in what he can do. Do you get that sense that idea or the thought process has changed on him a little?
Well, yes, but isn't that what happens?
Sure.
Right? I mean, we see this. I mean, no one – just think about what the Giants did last year.
Yeah. Yeah, everybody called that a horrible pick and, like, what are they doing? And
right, but when did all that start happening? When everybody – all of a sudden it got out like, hey, don't forget don't be surprised if the Giants don't take Daniel Jones at six. And we're like, what?
What? Yeah.
I guess what I'm getting at is – months prior, nobody was saying that, right? Nobody was predicting that. And just things happen. Things change. So I'm not surprised. I mean, people fall in love with people leading up to the draft, and people fall out of love with people leading up to the draft. And it seems like Dan Shanka and the folks at Our Lads have started to fall in love with Jalen Hurts.
Yeah,
the closer we get to the draft.
And I do believe there's going to be a team, and it's, I think the comparison between Dak Prescott and Jalen Hurts is a fair one. There's going to be a team like Dallas that they're not drafting Hurts to be their starter right away. They're drafting him to be a project and to be the backup. There's going to be a team that does that. What team is it? I don't know. I couldn't tell you, but there's going to be a team that probably takes a chance. I mean, Indy could possibly be that team. They have Rivers, and, you know, you bring in Jalen Hurts, that might not be a bad move for them. I mean, I guess hypothetically it could be the Titans, but I think they have other needs and don't want to spend a second round or third round pick on Jalen Hurts. It just depends on where he is. But I do think there's going to be that team that's going to look at this in a similar situation to what Dallas did with Dak.
Do we think the setup is going to affect trading?
I don't know.
Trades?
That's a good question.
Yeah, there's just pretty active during the NFL draft throughout the course of seven rounds, and I wonder if it's still going to be as active as it's been in the past.
Well, and what happens, too, like, let's think about this. When a trade gets made, and let's say it involves a roster player, it's not just picks. Let's say a player gets moved. Well, what's been the biggest problem with announcing free agent signings? They can't take their physical. And so it's taken weeks to announce moves that we knew had happened. I mean, the DeAndre Hopkins trade and David Johnson, I mean, that's not official because of the physicals. So what happens if a player gets traded during the draft, picks are involved, the picks are used, and 2 weeks later the team that traded for the player finds out that he failed the physical? What does that mean? Whereas usually, you know, I mean, it's like a you change it the next day, or, you know, something happens the next day, you get instant results. That's not going to be the case here.
Wonder what is I was kind of looking at some just what people are saying. We had Vince Ferrara from the Sports Animal on Monday, and he has done his mock first round draft pick, and he had them taking the big defensive tackle out of Texas A&M. Of course, that would be basically the Jarrell Casey replacement.
No, that was going to be something I asked you guys, is because I haven't looked at a whole lot of mock drafts, but who are the names? Like, if we had to pick five names that are surfacing on mock drafts, like, what names should we be thinking of, you know, when this draft starts?
Because I've been thinking about, or for the Titans?
For the Titans, for their first pick. You know, what names? We always play this game, right? The four questions, whatever, predict who the name is going to be. We always usually narrow it down based on all the mock drafts we're seeing. The same five or seven names every year seem to start surfacing, right? We get it down to a group of that number. So who would be on that list this year?
Well, I've seen Yetur Gross-Matos from Penn State. His name has come up on quite a few mock drafts for the Titans. Pass rush guy, defensive lineman. So he's come up quite a bit. That's one name.
Jeff Gladney. I saw that one, the cornerback out of TCU. I've seen I think it's tougher when you think about 29. I think it's also tougher with John Robinson because, as we've talked about, he's so close to the vest. I mean, he just doesn't – we never know when he's going to trade, and we haven't done a really good job of – did anybody predict Jeffrey Simmons last year?
Nope.
Definitely not.
But nobody really thought he'd be there. I mean, that's the – because – had he not gotten hurt, the Titans don't have him. That's the only reason they got him.
Right, but he was hurt. We already knew that. He had been hurt months prior to that. The point is, nobody was predicting Jeffrey Simmons to the Titans. I mean, he was hurt in February. So the point is, we haven't been able to really nail down what he's doing. I mean, we didn't call Corey Davis. Nobody said Corey Davis. Nobody said – I mean, it's been really hard to figure out what he's thinking. And I really don't know. I don't even know if
that,
we can come up with a position.
Part of the question is we come up with, you know, every year a list of these names. And as you said, you know, only maybe every other year is the pick actually one of those names that we hone in on during our process. I'm looking at CBS. They have Ross Blaylock from TCU. I think you just mentioned him, Darren.
I was literally just looking at that. Yep.
I've seen Josh Jones, his name out there, an offensive tackle. But I've seen him kind of floating between the end of the first round and into the second round.
It is interesting. They are linked to two guys from TCU on the defensive side of the ball. Right? Jeff Gladney. And I literally was just looking at CBS's when you said that, Willie, and Ross Blaylock, or Blacklock, right? Blacklock. Ross Blacklock from TCU, big defensive lineman.
Yeah, not to be confused with Mookie Blaylock.
Not exactly. Who did not go to TCU.
I've seen the kid from Auburn, the corner, his name out there that I can't say his last name at all. I'm not even going to attempt it. First name, Noah. Seen that floated around.
Yep. So I guess the point of the exercise is it's hard to predict. I mean, I'm not sure we could even forget a name. I'm not sure we could predict the if we were going to do pick six, I don't even know if we could predict the position.
No, I have no idea. I mean, I've been kind of leaning towards cornerback because I know that's a position of need. But, you know, if somebody asked me to put money on that, I wouldn't because I couldn't tell you.
I mean, what would the favorite be?
Of course, they just signed. You know,
What would be the position that's the favorite? How would you answer that?
Well,
okay,
I don't know.
Well, I would have said, see, that's where we don't know yet what's going to happen with Clowney. Is there any chance they sign Clowney or Clowney's off the board, or is he still out there when the draft starts? They just signed another defensive lineman yesterday. I don't know where he fits into the picture. Jack Crawford, who has played 8 years in the league, has had a couple of decent seasons with the Falcons. You know, there's a guy. So how does that affect, you know, where you would see defensive linemen, for example, in the first round? I mean, there's a lot of different things that can change by the time they make that pick, but I just think that's an example.
Yeah, we'll come back. More of Darren Donick and Chase. By the way, Elliot Friedman coming up at 1 o'clock, our weekly chat with him, right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're asking you to vote in our bracket, the right side. We're going to finish that up today, tonight at 9 o'clock, and we'll have this thing down to our Elite Eight. Eddie George is the one seed right now with 74% of the votes over Mike Fisher, the four seed. So Eddie George continues to be in control there. Mookie Betts, who we talked to last hour, was 60% of the votes right now to 40% for Kevin Dyson. Pecorine with 95% to his teammate Victor Arvidsson. Pekka is also a one seed. Bruce Matthews and Philip Forsberg, that's the 6 versus 7 seeds. And right now it still is all Philip Forsberg with 70% of the vote. So get in there. Seeing things kind of slow down. Now, got a good start, but I feel like through the course of the show, that has kind of slowed down. We need to pick that back up. Go to thegamenashville.com is how you can vote, or go to our Twitter account at 1025 The Game. Like I said, been some heavy voting for the first hour and a half or so, but things have slowed down, I would say, in the last hour. So let's pick back up things where we where
voter
we started.
Turnout. We need voter turnout.
Let's get the turnout. Get to the polls.
Let's go.
Get to the polls and vote. Also, the brain teasers.
This will take you all of about 30 seconds.
It's very simple, especially now that we're down to the position that we're in. The other one is our brain teaser that we have put out, and man, they are all over the place. The answers continue to roll in. We're getting heavy input on this, which is good.
I've
but
seen a ton
right
of
now, yeah, right now we
Darren,
are.
I am having a celebration. I'm having a celebration here in my house because
you're in the minority.
I have gotten the correct answer. I have finally got well. But I shouldn't celebrate too much because I've missed. I submitted. I went back and looked at the text, Darren. I submitted 4 incorrect answers. Wait a minute. I submitted 5 incorrect answers to you.
So 6 times was
Monday.
A charm.
So today, my strategy of clearing my head, going back to just putting it away for a couple of days, coming back to it, I figured it out. So I'm very happy that I finally know the correct answer. So now I can look at everybody else's answer, and I can see, again, some answers all over the board. I do see some correct answers, though. Some people did get
it's
it. It's
about
but I 85, love the fact that,
15, 85% to 15% wrong to right answers.
You know what's funny, though, is some people that got it wrong, and we talked about this yesterday, got it wrong the same way. They got the same number I got,
sure.
So I know how they got to that number,
oh, yeah.
Which is the wrong number.
Uh-huh.
And Erin, one of her answers was my first answer. Her answer was
yes.
My first answer.
So was mine. So
she was disappointed to find out that it was incorrect.
So play along with us. Got a really nice prize attached to it. a free massage at Blue River Canyon.
Tongue in cheek.
Day Spa in Brentwood. Who we used to work with a lot.
I don't even remember that one.
Over the years, but really nice place. Went there many times, but you'll get a free massage from there if you get the right answer. Right now, there's not very many right answers, so keep plugging away. Tonight, we are going to be airing a Predators playoff game. Chase, what do we have on the docket tonight?
Game 6 tonight between the Preds and the Ducks from the Western Conference Final. We all remember that one fondly. And just that run that they made, so we'll be airing that one tonight, and should be a lot of fun. Ryan and I talked about it this morning, just memorable goals in Predators history, and several from that game. But for them to get it done, Colton Sissons, of course, had a big night, and they were able to advance to the Stanley Cup Final.
Kind of a big deal, yeah.
Yeah, that's on the list for sure. But yeah, so that should be cool.
That's
We've had fun
stuff.
With that. We've had a lot of fun with that, and I know you guys at Fox Sports Tennessee, Willie, have been airing, you know, some replays of games from this year, and we've synced up a couple times, but we've also gone deep in the vault for some other games, and you're going to hear, you know, here soon, we're going even deeper in the vault to bring some games, so it should be a lot of fun.
I love it. I have a I want to start requesting to Ryan to see if some games are in the library that I think would be fun for something like that. And I believe tonight on Fox Sports Tennessee, remember Thursdays and Sundays are the nights that you can watch replays of games from this year, as you just mentioned, Chase. Tonight is, I think, my favorite game of the year, and that is the Mikhail Granlund heroics at the end against the Flames not too long ago, where he ties it with 1/10 of a second left and then wins it in overtime. That was, to me, that was the best game of the year.
I am I'm supposed to be doing some stuff with that tonight. I need to figure out exactly what I'm. I don't really know. I think you've already done this already, right? Where you maybe answer questions during the game or something?
Yes. Darren, we're gonna have fun. Because we try to get some chatter going on the Twitter sphere while the game's going on. So mm-hmm. you're fielding questions tonight?
Yes. That's what I've been asked
we'll have questions then. We'll have questions for you.
So I'll tell you guys this. Saturday at 1 o'clock, you will enjoy what we're playing. And, Darren, there's a picture on your wall from one of these games.
Oh.
2004.
Nice.
Games 3 and 4 against Detroit.
Very nice.
So we went deep into the archives.
Game 3 is I'm looking at right now.
Yep. So that'll be cool to hear that. And that's what's been the fun part about this is, you know, Ryan and I have talked, and Ryan's done a lot of it, but digging through and trying to find some of these games to put them together. And, you know, Pete Weber, who has a lot of this stuff, you know, being able to get that and make it all work. It's a lot of fun. And with this one, the files that we have actually have what's going on during the break that we can't air, but listening to some stories during a game, those are a lot of fun.
Do you guys – so the one we're airing tonight on radio, Game 6, do you guys remember what the score was after one period?
Well, I know the Predators jumped out 3-0. Is that what it was at the end of the first?
Nope. 2-0.
2-0? Yeah.
2-0.
Do you remember the goals?
Oh. Ooh.
Well, when in doubt in Game 6, you need to go with somebody, right? I mean, when in doubt.
Colton Sissons?
Oh, Sissons had the first. Did he have the first goal?
No, he had the second goal.
Okay. So it was boom, boom. They scored two right out of the gate, if I remember. Did they not lead at one point? Did they lead at one point 3-0?
No. Nope. It was 2-1 after two periods. It was 2-0. Little known fact is Austin Watson actually had two goals. Colton Sissons, you know, we always remember the hat trick, but Austin Watson had two goals in that game. He had the first goal of the game.
So he had the first
goal. Like a minute and a half in. Remember, it was quick.
Yeah. Oh, man, that place, it erupted. So, but after they went up 2-0, for a long time, they really went into a shell, and Anaheim started coming back, and they, for a while, were dominating the play. And Pecorine was keeping them in the lead, and then they tied the game, right?
They did.
Or did they go ahead?
No, they tied the game midway through the third period.
Okay. I couldn't
remember.
And
then Colt Sissons got the game winner.
And then Sissons saves the day at the end there to break the tie. And they added a couple empty netters.
Okay. Now I'm going to really put you guys to the test. Who did the anthem? Remember we played that fun game and that ride. Who was the anthem singer?
Oh,
game
man.
Six. Was that Maren Morris?
Nope.
Willie, your turn.
We just talked about this person on Monday's show.
Vince Gill?
Nope. That's a good guess, though. Because we did. We did talk about Vince.
Yeah.
Trisha Yearwood.
Trisha Yearwood.
Wow.
Do you remember who was on the band stage? Who was the hype? people?
Ryan Johansson and Kevin Fiala.
Ryan Johansson and Kevin Fiala. And? Or was, no, wait a minute. Was this, I think it was Ryan Johansson and Kevin Fiala. And I think this, was this guy, what was his role? You know who else was out there? Eddie George. Was he out there with Trisha? Or was he on the bandstand?
He might have been down on the ice.
I think he was down on the ice. Yeah, I think it was Trisha and Eddie down on the ice, right? And Ryan Johansson and Kevin Fiala were on the band stage.
What a show.
Yeah, because remember, Darren, you and I, where you and I had walked out to watch all of that, we kind of looked over, and I think you said to me, like, that's Ryan Johansson. Because they had tried to sneak him in to make it a surprise, but and then you and I looked over, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that's Fiala. There's Johansson. They're here.
And if you remember, because, you know, then the Catfish was coming out for every game. Do you remember the significance of what happened with the Catfish being thrown on the ice in that game? You won't remember it until tell you.
Now, you're getting into a lot of details.
Do you remember it hit Corey Perry?
Yeah.
Remember the Catfish hit Corey Perry?
That's right.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that was that game. I think it hit him in his hand.
Yeah. I do remember.
So whoever threw it hit Corey Perry.
Nice throw.
No doubt. Good job. All right, we'll come back and wrap up the third hour of Darren, Donnick, and Chase next. We continue social distancing on this show, show 16. Darren McFarland, that's me from my home down here in Rutherford County in Smyrna. Willie Donnick over in East Nashville. Chase McCabe in Bellevue. So we've got the south side, the east side, and the west side covered. And Marquise Munson back at our Wholesale Link Game Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. So speaking of social distancing, let's kind of get an update as we sit here on April 9th. Yes, it's not normal. We should be talking about first round action of the Stanley Cup playoffs that took place last night. That's not the case. We should be talking about the Masters. Right now, let's go to a leaderboard and day one of the Masters. That's not the case. But as we continue to social distance and do the right thing, well, let's just kind of talk about that to finish up the third hour.
Well, some people may have been following this, and I think without getting too deep into the numbers and the projections, because that could all change, but the feedback that we're getting, and I've said this before, Dr. Anthony Fauci, I think, has become a really great guy to follow what he says. I think he's just really good at how he explains everything to all of us that watch him at the various press conferences. And he's done interviews on every single show, sports shows, non-sports shows, all of these things. But the feedback that they're getting, the data they're getting, is suggesting that all of this social distancing that we're doing is working. And so that's really encouraging to start seeing, because I know a lot of people are probably sitting there going, how long do we have to do this? My goodness. You know, we've been doing this for a while. Can't we go out? You know, all of these things. But that's encouraging to know that what they've been telling us to do is having a good effect. And then the other part of the message is stay with it, right? We're not out of the woods yet. We got to keep doing this for a little bit longer. But just know that it is making a difference. All of these things that are inconveniences for us, the things we don't enjoy doing, but it is having the effect that we're looking for. And so I was really encouraged to hear that. We needed some good news, right? Because we also, if you followed it, they told you that, you know, the curve is going to go up. You know, the amount of casualties that we're seeing, that, you know, the death toll is going to rise, and it's going to keep rising for a while. But and they knew that was coming, right? And those are still hard numbers to see, the number of cases going up, the deaths going up. But that's part of it. But all we can do is continue to do what we can each day, and that is making a difference.
Well, and here's another part of the message that I think people need to realize. As we get this good news and the curve does get flattened, that doesn't mean that you can immediately just run out and get back to normal. I mean, you have to be very cautious of that. Of, we want it to stay that way. We don't want it to all of a sudden come back. And so I think that's one thing that officials are trying to tell people of, yeah, this is encouraging. Let's keep it up. We need to keep this consistent for a few weeks, and then we can start to have a little bit of normalcy. But I think that that's another part that people need to pay attention to.
Well, we're not out of the woods at all.
No.
Probably April is going to be the worst month. Hopefully that this is going to be the worst month, and then we will start seeing going in the right direction after this month. The thing that continues to get my attention, all of this gets my attention, and that is all true. What has been said to this point is the unemployment rate is now, it's what is it, 17 million, and it continues to rise, and it's only going to get worse. And that's what I'm keeping close eyes on, and that's been really my theme this week is we've got to be safe, we've got to do the right things, we've got to be aware, we've got to educate, but we also need to we need to be coming up with ideas, we need to be coming up with plans. We've got to figure out a way to get things going. We can't sit here on our hands the rest of 2020 and just say, well, the safest thing to do is for everybody just to stay in their homes. Well, that's great, but we won't have homes if we just sit on our hands the rest of the calendar year, because we're all going to have a roof over our head and we're not going to be able to feed our families. It's economically, it just, that does not make sense, and that's not going to work. We can't be digging out of this for the next 5 years because we just sunk to the bottom of the ocean with our economy. We've got to be talking. That's why I'm glad these Power Five conference commissioners are talking on a daily basis. I'm glad Major League Baseball is in there right now trying to figure out a way to get their season going. Is May aggressive? Yeah. Is it realistic? Probably not. But if they can come up, if this Phoenix plan, this Phoenix area plan, is the solution to actually having a season, then keep talking about it. Keep working out things. If the NBA, if Las Vegas makes sense for them to have the rest of their product, or at least, look, even if the NBA and the NHL can't come back and complete, that'll be a tragedy. It'll stink. But at least figure out a way that it doesn't get disrupted for the next season. Everybody's got to have a plan to get football. Better have a plan. It's too critical. There's too much money and jobs attached to that, and we got to figure this out. Like, all this stuff can't remain closed forever. By the way, it's probably not a good time for a joke. I had a pretty good joke, but it's probably not a good time for a joke. Yeah, but we got
to
get things going.
The only thing I would add to what you're saying, Darren, I think we're hitting the two things that we've been trying to illustrate what the challenge will be, you know, and you have to make the right decisions, right? What a lot of health experts are stressing right now is don't get complacent, right? Stay with these measures. Stay with the hand washing and the social distancing and all of these things that they're trying to drive home, the safe at home stuff. We got to do it a little bit longer. And then as we continue to do this, that's when I think we start getting into those questions that you're saying. We can't get too anxious and jump the gun and come out of it earlier than we should, right? But we do need to start, as we continue to compile that data and make advances in testing, that we can start figuring out, okay, what can we do, right? What are the things we can do safely without making the knee-jerk reaction of coming out of it too quick and then making a mistake and having a relapse here?
All right, we'll come back. Final hour, we start with Elliot Freeman from Sportsnet. We'll do that next.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.